for the epistle of Peter, for the word of the Lord in Peter. It's not just verses and points and chapters that we go through, but the Lord wants that we see something. We have a lot of time to go into the verses after the conference. This morning, in these days, we can see what Peter had in front of his eyes when he wrote these words, that we get into this. What did he see? That he could write this down. That we have an overview, an impression, and then can come into the experience. And yesterday, I was very impressed that he writes to the ones in the dispersion who were elected by the Lord. I think we're all like that. We are dispersed. And he shows them the great mercy that he gave to us, the great salvation that he provided to us. He begot us again for a living hope, to give us an inheritance. Hallelujah. That is so great. And then he kind of follows and puts everything in order. He preserves us and he brings us through all kinds of sufferings to purify our faith and perfect us, that we can reach the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Praise the Lord. It is a great salvation from those who didn't have anything to do with this. They receive an inheritance from God, who can be saved to the uttermost and be sanctified. We read the verse. He called us to gain the glory of Christ. What a goal. We should gain the glory of Christ. That is immense. The prophets had to talk about this. Imagine you have to talk about this and you can't grasp it. Imagine you should say you should be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And you ask how and when. And Jeremiah said, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in your inner being. And he was asking, when? How do I get there? Can I have that too? And we read these verses and say, amen, I know this verse. Oh Lord, the prophets, they searched for this. They researched it. When is it? Can I have this? And this glory, this mercy, this grace that we talked about, that they talked about, we can stand in this. How much more do we have to research? How can I gain this? How can I experience it? Where is the salvation of our soul? What can this trial work? How do you want to purify me? Let us not just listen to it and think there are some good points, but let us see this image that the Lord wants to show us, that he wants to save us to the uttermost, to gain the inheritance. And when we see that, then we can see, starting verse 13, then there is a cooperation needed to gain the to come to this goal. And we could say quite a lot. There could be so many points that we can go into in the next few weeks. But in the end, Peter mentions an important part, how we should gain this goal. when we hear holiness, that is a word that many people don't even know. What is holiness? And the glory of Christ to gain and to become mature and be a first fruit. These are things, what is that? That is so far away. How should we ever get there? Then the Lord shows, in the end, He showed us His living word. And then we can read the verses in 1 Peter 1, 23 chapter 1, 23 to 2, verse 3. We read, brothers, sisters. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and its flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That you may grow for salvation. That is the full salvation. That is the full salvation of our whole being. The term salvation is not just being born again, but it's growth to salvation. And how does the Lord bring this forth? How does God work? We can see from the beginning in the Word, God speaks and it was. God spoke, there was light and light was there. If He speaks something, it becomes. Yeah, that's amazing. If I speak, nothing happens. Yeah, when God speaks, He can bring forth something that wasn't there before. He made the whole creation through His word, not through a big bang and much time, but through His word it was made. That is amazing, and His speaking has some power. When we hear something like be holy, how does it work? God works through His speaking. That's why He shows in the end the living and remaining word of God. That's how He works. For Abraham, He gave him the promise, you will have a son. How should that work? But Abraham believed in the word. He believed what God said He would do. No matter how the circumstances are. The Lord, when He healed the people, when Lazarus was dead, what did He do? Did He make a big show? A big wonder? He just spoke, Lazarus, come out. And he came out. Wow. What a word of God. Praise the Lord. That is the living word of God. It has power. It can make dead alive. It can do things that we've never seen. And this living word of God should also work in us all the things that God wants in us. The salvation of our soul, how should that work? Our soul is so complicated, so fallen, so deeply fallen. How can it be without the living word of God? Even if you just have the tests, the trials, and they show your leg, they show where you're missing something. What do you need in the trials? Christian, what do you need? You need his living speaking into your trials, what the Lord wants to do now, and how you can go through it. Amen. This word is so wonderful. It will give you light. Sometimes something happens. Even small things, you're offended or something bothers you. What does give you light to come out of it? What shows you the real root of it? We all know the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you notice when death comes, or evil thoughts about others, you notice that's not good. But how can you find the leaven, the root, the seed of that that worked this? It's through the living word of God. If you come to the word and ask, Lord, shine in me, give me light through your word. I had a situation. I thought, I don't want these thoughts, but I only got rid of them when the Lord gave me light. And the Lord showed me why you get offended by the brother is because you are proud. You have a proud heart. When I saw that and I confessed it, then this offense, this leaven was gone. Praise the Lord. The Lord said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It was life, and the life was the light of man. It is so precious, this living Word, to hold on to it, his living speaking. And Peter says here, he uses the image of a seed. He uses the living and remaining Word of God. It's a seed. So I think God is a farmer, and he arranged everything so wonderfully and shows us how the spiritual life works in the way of these simple images. Yeah, even in kindergarten, they plant seeds, and they understand if you want to have bread, you have to plant a seed, and it has to grow. And in the same way, Lord uses this image, how spiritual things work. How does he bring forth the salvation of the soul? How does he bring forth righteousness, holiness, his virtues? We see the virtues. We see love, peace, self-control. You want the fruit. But first you need the seed. And this is the living word of God. Amen. A seed is very small. You plant it and becomes a huge tree. That is the mystery of something living. You can take a piece of gold and put it in the ground. Do you get a gold tree? No, it would be nice, but no. It is dead. It is precious, but dead. But the living word of God, it's a small seed. But it can bring forth something in you that is much more precious than gold or silver. That's why Psalm says, your law is more precious than gold. When you put it in the ground, it brings forth glory. It brings forth something of God in you. A living seed. That's why it's so important how we deal with this word. It is not there just to read it, to know it, and just to have the knowledge. But it should be such a living seed in all of us. Because all things of God, it's not from the outward behavior, but it's the living being in us. It has to grow in us. It starts with the seed. And he says here, we have been born again from this not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God. In this word, in this living seed, it has and contains everything that we need to become mature, to be first fruits. James 1 says, this seed, when it is planted in us, it has the ability to save our soul. That is the end of our faith, to save our soul completely. And then he says, from Isaiah, all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass. Isaiah speaks these verses about the return of the Lord, about the one who came before Christ. And he says, all flesh is grass, but the word of the God endures forever. This seed has a goal. If I'm just busy with the natural things, the earthly things, it's like grass. When the Lord comes, it will all pass away. And then, if I just look at the earthly things and I've invested everything, then nothing remains. But here it says, the word of the Lord endures forever. The time that we spend with this living word of God, that is something that remains forever. If you have much time or you don't have much time, it is precious to do it with the living word. And the seed has a goal to make us first fruits. Why? Because all flesh will pass away. When the Lord comes, everything will pass away. But in John 1:14, the word was precious and glorious. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. John 1:14. That's the goal of dealing with this living word, that it becomes flesh in us. And Timothy says, it is the mystery of godliness, God revealed in the flesh. What does it help if you just enjoy the word and see it, but then I run away and don't change? This word should become flesh. And in order for the word to come forth, to have the reality, I need this living seed, that I search, what is your speaking? Speak to me this morning. How is our time with the word? I think every one of us takes time with the word. But how is this time? Do I just look for some verses that encouraged me? Or do you have favorite verses that you could always read? And then I'm doing well again, and then I can start my day. Or do I seek the living speaking? Lord, what do you speak today to me? What is the seed that you want to plant in my heart today? Of course, it's good to go through chapters. I also do that. So you get an overview. It's also precious. But what we search is the living speaking of the Lord. Lord, plant the seed in me. Amen. The word, it's here, and we should live by it. We don't live by the bread alone, but by his living speaking that comes out of his mouth. And the speaking is the Alpha and Omega. Many of us have been with the church for a long time, and we know the word. When we read the word in the beginning, it's new and exciting, and you see what's there, and it's very precious. But how is it when you've read Peter 5 times? How is it if you read it again because that's the topic now? Or do you ask, Lord, speak to me. I want to have your living speaking. What do you bring forth? What do you want to gain? If I'm dull, it could be that we dull over time. And then I read this word, and I read it because I should read it. And I know I should read it, but there's no seed, no working of the Lord. May the Lord be gracious to us, that we don't become dull, that we don't become satisfied and saturated. You may not notice it right away. When you have a lot of knowledge, you know the word, you can even say something about it in the fellowship, but it's out of knowledge. That's dangerous. And such a condition, when it happened, that's super dangerous. Then it's just a matter of time until you get offended and death comes in. And that in chapter 2 it says that you reject the cornerstone, and that you it's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. We will see that later. Then the Lord is not effective, but it's a word of offense. The same verses that are in the Bible could be both. Lord, that's why may we have such a dealing. What is your living speaking, Lord? And it is washing of the water of the word. It's like a bath. It should cleanse us. How is it when you read the word and the cleansing? We often seek the encouragement and the life, and that's precious and that's good, but we should hold on to it. And we should say, Lord, let this work in me. And Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living. That's the first thing. It's living. And then don't go away, but stay with it so that it can become infinite. So it's living and effective. It's working. Then something happens. It needs this cooperation from us. If you only just read the Bible and you say, Lord, speak to me, then not much will happen. But we heard a lot. What is, do we gird the loins of our mind? That's something. It was living. Yesterday night, but then I had to apply it in the morning so it can work. when you get out of bed, put on the belt. That's a salvation. And last point, it's nourishment, so that we can grow. Peter says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. In verse 2:2, how much nourishment do we truly have? And not how many chapters did you read or how many meetings did you go to. How much nourishment, how much speaking from God have you received? Sometimes you have to stay on it and chew it. Hebrews 15 says, when I found words from you, your word became my joy. When I found words from you, and I had joy. When you first find them, there's no joy. But when you eat them and you move them in your heart, it becomes joy to you. That is so important. We read about maturity and perfection, and this living speaking of God we can never lose. That's what we've for sure need. A good servant is who nourishes himself with the word of faith that is healthy. How can you see when someone is becoming sick? When he is not hungry anymore? If there is no appetite, then you notice something's not good. He's not doing well. And the same is when we're spiritually. Let us pay attention to ourselves and others. When you notice someone doesn't have much hunger and is not very hungry and has no appetite for fellowship, then you have to be careful. That's a sign of being sick. And a sign of health is when you are hungry and for this living word. And shortly after, at the end, when we in Leviticus 11, be holy for I am holy. It talks about the what's clean and unclean, the animals. That shows us how we should deal with the word of God, that we should be sanctified. The clean animals were those who chewed the cud and had the split hoofs. Then they were clean. That's how our dealing with the word should be. Through the word you understand what is clean, what is unclean, what does God like, what does he not like. My whole life. If you stick to the word of God, if you keep the word of God, then you can keep yourself clean. In a world that is so unclean, how do you know how to behave at work? How do you know how you should behave in relationships if you don't keep the word of God? That is the difference. That's the cloven hoofs. What is clean and what is unclean? What's holy, unholy? Don't just read it. What am I allowed to do? What am I not allowed to do? But eat this word. That is the chewing the cud. You need the living food in this so that it strengthens you, so that you can be holy. And that really works. It strengthens you to be different from the people around you. It's to be different from your colleagues. Otherwise, in the end, it will get really hard and difficult. That's why you should chew this word. Take it as your food. A young sister said she separated herself for the Lord. She noticed, I'm different. I'm the only one. It's not so easy. Then she said, Lord, give me a word, give me food. And praise the Lord, he listens to this prayer. And he gave a word. And when you chew it, and then it becomes joy. And you are joyfully holy and separated. Praise the Lord. I hope you all became hungry and have an appetite to hold on to the living speaking of the Lord, this living seed, until the fruit becomes ripe.